Okay, so this is a song. So Olivia likes to listen to music as she goes to sleep and bounce up and down. And so this was a song that actually she woke up to in the middle of the night, and she heard it, and so then she told her mother that she wanted to sing it. And I think now she's feeling a little different, but she's actually excited to sing it, aren't you? All right. We should be ready.
Just give me Jesus and I'll be alright. With him I can make it, walking beside. I know my tomorrows are safe in his hands. Just give me Jesus, I know I can stand. So many distractions seem to cloud my way. All the cares of life surrounding can lead my heart astray. When I cannot find the answers, I know someone who can. So in the middle of my questions, I reach for his hand. Just give me Jesus and I'll be alright. With him I can make it, walking beside. I know my tomorrows are safe in his hands. Just give me Jesus, I know I can stand. When I take my eyes off Jesus and confusion starts to win, when my worries overwhelm me and the battle reaches in, in that moment I remember I know whose I am. And when the enemy comes rushing, I reach for his hand. Just give me Jesus and I'll be alright. With him I can make it, walking beside. I know my tomorrows are safe in his hands. Just give me Jesus, I know I can stand. Just give me Jesus and I'll be alright. With him I can make it, walking beside. I know my tomorrows are safe in his hands. Just give me Jesus, I know I can stand. We are servants of the King, and our future is secure. A crown of life is waiting for all who will endure. And when I stand before my Savior and he reaches out to me, I lay all my crowns before him and fall to my knees and cry, just give me Jesus and I'll be alright. With him I can make it, walking beside. I know my tomorrows are safe in his hands. Just give me Jesus, I know I can stand. Just give me Jesus and I'll
And that is true, isn't it? If you have Jesus, you have everything. If you don't, you have nothing. You know, it's interesting, as they're singing, I get a different view because I can look out and see what all you people are doing. And I know what you were thinking. Most of you are thinking, oh, that Darren is so cute when he sings. Oh, that isn't? Oh, okay. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read together just the first four verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we have come to your word now, we have been ministered to already. Lord, through song and through shared testimony, through a call, Lord, to be active in the body of Christ. And so, Lord, we have come now to glean from your word, and we would, Lord, that you would hide your servant behind the cross, that you would speak through these fallible lips of clay, Lord, the infallible truth. And the Lord, you would do so in such a manner as to encourage, instruct, correct, if necessary, Lord, our thinking and our hearts, so that, Lord, the lives that we live would be of glory to you. And so we ask, Lord, these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It is really tempting to grab that little green stool and be really tall. Well, happy Mother's Day. There were a number of places where I thought maybe we would go this morning into God's Word, but I've chosen this, led to this. I thought my sister Tamar was going to start preaching my message today in their opening for Sunday school. But as we turn to Ephesians here, chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, now under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is delivering the Word of God. It is post-Christ's ministry. It is now in the empowerment of the church according to the Holy Spirit that we get the directions that we get. The first thing I would like to call to your attention is something that has gone somewhat awry within the church. There is some thought within the church that the Old Testament is irrelevant. There is some thought within the church that the Ten Commandments are no longer in effect. Now, it's true that they're not in effect as a means to bring us to righteousness, but they are in effect as a means to declare to us the very nature and character of God and to give us direction in how we are to live that would bring glory to Him. God's mind has not changed on the Ten Commandments, and it will never change on the Ten Commandments. And so the Apostle Paul here is drawing us first and foremost back to Exodus chapter 20, where we have the first command with promise, that it may go well for you, that you might live long upon the earth, that children are to honor their father and mother and to do it through obedience. When we come to issues of parent and child, we have a tendency to think of it simply as children of a young age. But that would be a mistake, because the calling on a child's life is to honor their parents all of their life. The calling on a person's life, as God has designed the home, is that we honor our parents. It's interesting that it would be noted as father and mother. Many passages of Scripture simply refer to fathers, but in that reference, they are calling us to honor parents. We are called to obey parents. It's interesting when Paul would talk to Timothy about how things will come into the end of the last days, and you will read in those passages some horrendous things, but in that list is disobedient children. No, God has a design and a purpose within the family, because the family is God's institution. We have no right to redefine it. We have no right to determine who or who will not be involved in it, and we have no right to determine what our roles and responsibilities should be. People have said that the problems that we have in our society today are caused because of the breakdown of the home. That is only partially true, because the breakdown of the family home is because we have left off Christ, who is the author of it. Therefore, any instruction on how the home is to operate takes us back to the very nature of God presented to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. But our answer in Christ will only and ever be by our submission and our willingness to be obedient to the calling on our lives, as described in his very words and as shown to us in his very actions. It is, it was, and it will forever be about the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the gospel that is our answer. Any thought of Mother's Day can only truly be understood if it is bathed in the reality of God's love for us. You see, I think Mother's Day is a wonderful thing. And Mother's Day is celebrated if you went to the drugstore or wherever you get your cards for your mother and your flowers for your mother. You may have stood in line with Christians and non-Christians alike. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to show our love for our mothers. But the question in my mind today is, as a born-again Christian, someone who has recognized that I'm broken and I'm fallen and I'm in need of a Savior, someone who recognizes that if I don't have Jesus, I can't even stand. For born-again Christians, is the thought of Mother's Day heightened or lessened in your mind? That's the question I have. That question comes partially out of my thoughts about Valentine's Day. I think Valentine's Day is a wonderful thing, but it really has very little meaning in our home. Because I try to express my love for my wife on a daily, day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. And when it comes to Valentine's Day, there's really, in my estimation, to be little difference. And that's true of Mother's Day as well. If we recognize that the home is of God's design, and that the mother you have has been granted to you by God, then certainly you would show your love. You wouldn't do as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, that our love would be with dissimulation, that our love would be as an actor would act it out, but rather that our love would be, as Paul would say, unfeigned, true, heartfelt, from your very being expressing your love, your honor, for your mother. Now, here at Ebenezer, we have few children. We have mostly adults. So what I would like to do is I would like to look at what it means to honor your mother as an adult. Not as a child, but to honor your mother as an adult. The idea of honor is throughout Scripture, and this idea of father and mother is throughout Scripture, although in most cases it's presented to us as honoring our fathers. One of the passages I would like to look at is Malachi chapter 1, and I encourage you to go back and read this. But for the context of our message today and in the shortness of time, because somebody took all my time, I'm kidding, that's a joke, is Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. Listen to what the Lord says, and remember that Christ is the express image of God the Father. And he says here, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? Now you start putting these things together. If Christ is the express image of the Father, then Christ could be saying this as well and does say it. And if a father and a mother are two who God has joined together and the two flesh have become one, then as he speaks to a father being honored, so he speaks to a mother being honored as well. And there seems to be an understanding within this passage that as we honor God, so we ought to honor our parents. Not as gods, but as those granted to us by God in his design of the home and for our purposes and our good. Now, if you go on and read Malachi, what you discover in this passage is God is displeased with his people because they are not honoring him. And the way they're not honoring him is they are not giving him of their best. And this is our calling. This is our calling within our homes, to give unto our parents our best. That's what it means to express love through obedience. That's what it means to express love through honoring and respecting and holding in high esteem your parents. You are bringing them in your mind to the very forefront and offering your best to them. Jesus had an issue with the people of his time. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 15, we'll look and see what the issue is that Jesus had. You know, sometimes we present Jesus as a flower child from the 60s, that he would never say anything to offend anybody. I would encourage you, if that's your thought of Jesus, a sandal-clad, peace-waving Jesus, to pick up your Bibles and actually read them. Do you know that Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven? Do you know that Jesus was very harsh with people at certain times? Do you recognize that this same Jesus that we love is not only the God of love, but he is righteous and he is just and he is a just judge? Therefore, as a good shepherd would never let his sheep go and fall off a cliff, he's going to do whatever means he can to correct that which has gone wrong. And we have accounts where Jesus whipped people with a whip. So when you come to church, or when you open your Bibles, you should do so with an understanding that I am a child and I am in need of a correction. And I will gladly bend over and let God correct me, if need be. The writer of Hebrews would tell us that. Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Here now Jesus teaches into a certain situation. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat their bread." But he answered, and he said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of your God, of God, by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother." And now he adds, and he says, "And he that curses father or mother, let him die the death." That sounds rather serious. He goes on to say, "But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or to his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free." That's what you say. "Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions." Now he goes on to describe that they are hypocrites. And you see what they're saying in this passage is, and it's a, you can determine this a couple different ways. One way would be that they're taking the things they should have been giving to support their parents as adults and giving it to God and saying that's more important. Or you could take it to mean the way I think it does, is they think, well, if I give you anything, it's a gift. I have no requirement, but I'm just gifting this to you out of the goodness of my heart. You see, what Jesus is saying here is the support and the care of your parents as an adult is honoring them. Now you stop and think about our culture. What has happened in our culture? We are a youth-driven culture that doesn't want to take care of our elders. Our elder people are dismissed constantly, put into places to let somebody else take care of them when somebody perfectly well in the family could be caring for them. Now, I'm not preaching against the nursing home. I know there's a need. What I'm saying is to honor your parents is to care for your parents as an adult, because that's what Jesus said. And if you're bringing your gifts unto God and not caring for your parent, he puts you in the same lump that he puts these people. You're a hypocrite. Now, does that work its way into the New Testament, into teachings of the New Testament? It does. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verses 1 through 4. Now, I don't want you to get confused on this first. In this first verse, it says elder. It is not talking about positionally being an elder in the church. The word here is presbyteros, and it simply means aged. It means literally older. Okay? Here's what the word now teaching us in the New Testament. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the young men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Now you see how this is all working together. What Cindy was sharing with you is was sharing the gospel. And the gospel is taking care of those who are in need. It's taking care of the fatherless. It's taking care of the widows. But what Scripture is bringing out here is a whole different slant to this, because now it's talking about our elder people within the body of Christ, that we are to treat them as fathers and we are to treat them as mothers. Whether they're your biological father or mother is of no consequence. You see, this idea of honoring parents goes beyond your own singular parents. It goes to people who have lived a position of parent, an elder person within the body of Christ. That we in the church, we have a responsibility to honor our elder people as fathers, the men, and mothers, the women. Happy Mother's Day. You see, when I celebrate Mother's Day, I am not simply celebrating my mother who has gone home to be with the Lord so many years ago. I am not celebrating Mother's Day simply for my wife who is an exemplary example of a mother to her children. I am not simply celebrating Mother's Day because of my mother-in-law, who I love dearly at a distance. No, I didn't say that. I love dear. See, I'm sorry. I love her dearly. But I'm not simply speaking of that. Because in the body of Christ, the idea of Mother's Day is lifted to a higher level than what the world would see it as. What I'm talking about in celebrating Mother's Day includes our elder women within this church. We honor you for the position of mother that you have played in your families and in the position of church mothers that you play amongst the congregation of God. Now, I'm going to give you one example of this, and I do this at great risk of embarrassing somebody within our congregation. But again, I said earlier, you're happy that Diana's back. You may not be happy that I'm back. You know I'm a loose cannon up here. So one Sunday, I'm sitting up here waiting for Sunday school to start, and I'm sitting up here in the third row, and a lady in our church came up and approached me from the rear. I won't give you her name, but her initials are Harriet Minow. And Harriet came up to me, and Harriet came up to me, and she greeted me, and she held out her hand like this. And as she held out her hand, I'm looking at her, well, what is this? And she put something in my hand, and I opened my hand to see what it was, and it was a silver dollar. Odd. And I said to Harriet, I said, what is this for? And you know what she said to me? She said, I have given one to every one of my boys, and you're my boy. Now listen to me. Harriet is not my biological mother. But Harriet is a woman within this church that I respect and I honor. And she is, for all practical purposes, my adopted mother.
Because that's what Timothy is being taught here. Within the body of Christ, there must be an honoring of our elderly people. There must be an uplifting of our elderly people. And we can't simply do it by saying, hey, we love you. We have got to be supporting and caring for and gifting to our elders. One of the things that saddens me so much in the church and was such an encouragement to me when we went to this little church in Georgia was the respectful nature in which the older people were dealt. And that's not true in every church. There are many churches today when the things that our elders hold dear have been shoved to the side in order to attract young people, and the young people that they attract are only considering themselves, and they have no respect for the older people within the church. And I'm telling you, because Scripture tells me this, that grieves the very heart of God. To honor our fathers and mothers goes beyond your biological father and mother. It goes in the body of Christ to those who are aged and fathers and mothers. Now, I've showed you what Jesus taught. I've showed you what the New Testament teaches. It all draws back to Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and mother. Now, let me show you how Jesus lived it. Turn with me to John chapter 19. When you look at Scripture and you begin to read Scripture within the context of the setting in which it's given, certain things just jump off of the page. In the context and the setting of John chapter 19 is the scourging, and it is being crowned with thorns and beaten. It is being delivered to be crucified, and it is the death of our Savior in agony upon the cross. And John records what Jesus said. In John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Tetelestai, completed. Everything needed to be done for the salvation of men was done upon the cross. Because of what Christ has done, we simply by faith receiving and believing on Jesus Christ have eternal life. You owe it all to Jesus. If you back up from there to verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing all the things were now accomplished that the Scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I thirst." And then John records one more thing that Jesus said, beginning with verse 25. "Now therefore stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then he said unto the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home." You see what's taking place here? An adopted son, an adopted mother, and we are all adopted into the family of God. It's interesting. James and John, sons of Zebedee. Was Zebedee alive? I don't know. Salome. Church tradition says that that was James and John's mother. Mark records that she's there at the cross. Whether or not those things are valid, I don't know. But I do know this. Jesus had siblings. But he put the care of his mother into John's hands. And this is the call of the church. It goes beyond our biological families to include all of those within the body of Christ. Honor your father and mother. Our gracious Heavenly Father, what Christ has done for us upon the cross,
has not simply saved us in an individual manner where we are an individual child of yours, but rather has changed and saved us into the family of God. And when we consider the family, then we recognize within the family of God, there are many mothers, and we are to honor them. We are to provide for them. And so, Lord, today I would that you would expand our minds to not simply but profoundly think of our own mothers, but expand our thinking, expand our heart, expand our mind to care for and to provide for and to honor all of the mothers within the body of Christ. For, Lord, we are all one. And so, Lord, I think Mother's Day is deeper. It is more profound even than the world celebrates. For we, Lord, have been brought and bought into an eternal family. A family that is meant to bring glory to your name. And you have a design for her. And so, Lord, I would that you would help us, give us the strength needed to love as you would have us to love, to honor as you would have us to honor, and to provide as you would have us to provide. Whether it is for the orphan, or for the widow, or for our mothers, Lord, may we be that body of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.